Judges chapter 13, and we come to the last two verses in the chapter tonight, and the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Here we have the life of the hero begun. The life of the hero begun. The woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew. And the Lord blessed him. These two verses are the only verses that give us a window into Samson's early life. Now, in chapters 14 to 16, we'll see his manhood and his exploits that he did in his brief manhood. We see the man in action in chapters 14 through to 16. But here in these two verses, we see the man being molded, the man being shaped, the man being made. And we have basically five things here in these two verses, in this life of the hero begun. I draw attention to the five verbs, because the verbs are the action words, and all the action is always in the verbs in any verse. And here I draw attention to the verbs. The woman bore a son. He was born. And then she called his name Samson. She called him something. And then this child grew. He grew. And then we read that he was blessed. The Lord blessed him. And then we read that he was moved at times by the Holy Ghost. Moved him at times. And those five verbs really are the fivefold division in this sermon on the life of the hero begun. The first thing is that Samson was born. The text says, the woman bore a son. She bore a son. Now you might ask, what's special about that? She bore a son. Don't women do that all the time? She bore a son. Well, it doesn't just say a son was born. It says she bore a son. Who bore a son? The woman bore a son. What woman bore a son? The woman that we have read so much about in this chapter. Manoah's wife, the woman, Mrs. Manoah, she bore a son. The woman who was barren. We're told that in this chapter. She was barren. But she bore a son. The woman was barren, it says, and never bore. But the chapter ends, she bore a son. She bore a son. And the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to this verb, this barren woman, she bore. She bore. The barren bore. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us. That's what he wants to point out to us. The Lord visited this barren woman and she bore. Her barrenness was turned into fruitfulness. And the Holy Spirit's telling us something in this chapter as it comes to a close. He's telling us two things, at least. He's telling us, first of all, that the Lord is mighty. The Lord's powerful. The Lord can make the barren to bear. The Lord can make the unfruitful to be fruitful. The Lord can make the dead to live. That's what the Lord can do. And that's what we're being told here at the start. Before we see this man's life, we're being told the Lord is powerful. And the Lord has powerfully caused a son to be born into the world from a barren womb. He's made it. And the Lord can do that to Israel. And the Lord can do that to the church. And the Lord can do that to our hearts. He can make the barren to bear. The woman bear. He maketh the barren, what does the psalm say? He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. He does it. You always, when you read in the Bible of barrenness, and then all of a sudden there is a birth, you're always called to think of the power of God. And so Mrs. Manoah is like the wives of the patriarchs. The wives of the patriarchs had this in common. They didn't bear children easy. Remember, Abram was 100 years old. He was 100 years old. Sarah wasn't far behind. And yet Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Who would have said that Sarah would have given suck? The Lord has made me to laugh. The Lord did it. Abraham had prayed for so long. But at last, the power of God, one already dead. One dead, that's what the Bible says, dead. Abraham was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead. But God made her to laugh, to be a joyful woman. Remember Isaac entreated the Lord for Rebekah? He prayed for Rebekah. Why? Why did he pray for Rebekah? Because she was barren. And Isaac prayed for her. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah bore. The Lord heard. He's mighty. He's mighty. Are there dead sinners we know? He's mighty. Is our hearts barren and dry? He's mighty. He's mighty. Remember Rachel? God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her because she was barren and she cried, give me children or I die. And she was, the God hearkened to her and opened her womb and she conceived. And we have this old expression again. She bore a son. She bore a son. That's what the Holy Ghost is telling us. Not just, that's not just a phrase, just an empty word. He had a child. No, she bore. The barren bore. She bore a son. Single barren, the Bible says. Oh, how the barren sings whenever God visits them. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bore. Break forth into singing. And cry aloud. I'm sure Mrs. Manoah did that. I'm sure she broke forth into singing. She cried aloud. She never bore. But now she's singing. Oh, I tell you, whenever the church is like that, whenever its barrenness has turned into travail and bearing children, I tell you, she sings. She sings. It's a long time from the church has been singing like that. But we can sing like that again because the Lord's made. Samson has many parallels to Samuel. Both live at a similar time. Both are Nazarites unto God from the womb. And both were born from barren wombs. When Samuel was born, Hannah sung. Sing, O barren, And Hannah sung. She sung. She broke forth into singing when she brought Samuel to the temple, tabernacle, to give him up. What did she sing about? She sung about the power of God. That's what she sung about. My mouth is enlarged, she said. I've got a big mouth over mine enemies. I've something to shout about. I can shout louder than my enemies because God has done something for me. He's given me a big mouth. That's what she said. He's given me a big mouth. Has God given you a big mouth? Can you shout about him? Do you shout about him? Are you dumb? He's enlarged my mouth. He's enlarged my mouth. Because I rejoice in thy salvation, there's none like the Lord. The Lord's a God of knowledge. And so on and so forth. She's all this to say. The barren, she says, the barren have borne 7. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, she said. That's what he does. Now I see it. He kills and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up again. Can anybody bring up from the grave? The one who gave the barren a son, he can. He can bring them up from the grave. He did. He brought Samson out of a grave. He brings him out of the grave. He's a God of resurrection power. That's what you sung about. That's what you sung about. She sung about the power. And whenever you read this phrase, don't go past it. You pause. And before you go into Samson's life, you think of the mighty power of God that's behind that man. That gave that man his birth. He has the power of God in his life. This isn't going to be an ordinary man. He's come into the world in power. God's going to use him. So we're caused to think about the power of God. And you can't really understand Samson's background until you think about the power of God. So before we go into the next chapters, the Lord's drawn our attention to God. It's not Samson's power in chapters 14 to 16. It's the Lord's power. It's the Lord's power who brought Samson into the world. This is no ordinary man. Bishop Hall has said, it is not the way of God to cast away strange beginnings. And what he means was that this man had a special birth, so there must be going to be something special in his life. The Lord hasn't just cast, he's not going to cast that away. He's going to use this man. In times of spiritual barrenness, in days like the days this hero lives in, what do we need? We need God's power. So that's the first thing that we should think about in this expression, Shabur, the woman bur. But then the second thing that we should think about is the Lord's faithfulness. And that's something you have to understand before you go into chapters 14 through to 16. Because you'll never understand them unless you know the Lord is faithful. Because I tell you this, Samson wasn't faithful. And you'll not understand 14 through to 16 unless you know the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful no matter about people. No matter about people, the Lord's faithful. And the Lord is faithful because the woman bore a son. And what had the Lord said to her away at the start of the chapter? What did he say to her at the start of the chapter in verse 7? Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You will bear a son. Behold. You'll conceive and bear a son. And you should believe them too. You should believe the Lord. But now God has come and the time of fulfillment is here. And she bore a son. You'll bear a son. At the start of the chapter we read, and at the end of the chapter we read, she bore a son. Of course you bear a son. God said you'd bear a son. He's faithful. And that's what the Lord wants us to note too. at the end of the chapter. I'm faithful. If I say something, I'll keep my promise. If I say I'll do something, if I say something will happen, if I say something takes place, I'll see that it does take place because I'm the Lord. I'm faithful. God's promises are true. He's faithful. He keeps covenant. He keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. And this woman did that. She loved him and she kept his commandments. She didn't drink. She didn't go near the vine. And now she bore a son. He's been faithful to her. The Lord is faithful. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He'll bear a son. He can't lie. She bore a son. It's the truth. If we believe not, it doesn't matter. He abideth faithful. He keeps his word. That's for sure. That's wonderful to know that, isn't it? Manoah's learning that, and his wife. And she's encouraged, no doubt, because she's saying that the Lord's kept this part of it. But the Lord said so much more. He said that he'd begin to deliver Israel. So if he's kept the first part, he must keep the rest of it as well. And so that's something we have to know before we go into the next three chapters, that the faithful God is going to keep his promise. This man's going to begin to deliver Israel. He was born in God's faithfulness, and he'd begin to deliver Israel in God's faithfulness. Watch for all the promises being fulfilled in this man's life. God has given promises, and they're going to be fulfilled. Now, Samson wasn't very faithful at times. He failed. But God kept his promises. Did Samson deliver Israel because he was a good man? No. Samson delivered Israel because God kept his promise. That's why. God is faithful to his word, brethren and sisters. If the Lord says something to us from his word, if it's a promise of encouragement, he'll keep it. And if it's a promise of a threat, he'll keep it too. He always keeps it. He's faithful to his promises. You can trust the Lord, brethren and sisters, and you should. And drink in his word, and eat his word, and consume his word, and believe his word, and know he's faithful, and plead it, and bring it to him, and be comforted by it. The Lord says, my kindness I will not take from him. And that was true of Samson. He never took his kindness from Samson. And I'll not suffer my faithfulness to fail. And that was true, he didn't. Samson failed. But the Lord never. He never will. Remember how the psalmist said, doth his promise fail forevermore? He was going through a dark time, the psalmist. He's trying to encourage his heart in the Lord. And this is a whole series of questions that he comes up with. And one of them is, doth his promise fail? No. You'll bear. She bore. If the Lord says, believe in me, you have everlasting life. We have everlasting life. If the Lord says, ye shall live. We shall live. If the Lord says to us, son, your sins are forgiven you. And your sins are forgiven you. Yeah. So the faithfulness of God. So she bore a son. But then secondly, she did something else. And called his name Samson. And the sense is, she did it. She called his name Samson. So he gets his name. Now again, this maybe doesn't seem very unusual. I mean, you just named the child Samson, so what? Well, it doesn't just say his name was Samson. That's not what it says. Now, maybe we've read that all the time. Maybe that's all we read. His name was Samson. Is that all we read? That's not what it says. It says she called him. She named him. Come out of her heart. His name. She named him Samson. She named him Samson. Came out of her mouth. I remind you of Hannah and Samuel. And because there's echoes here of this same thing. And there's echoes of it in John the Baptist's life. And there's echoes in it in Jesus' life as well. The same thing. She conceived. She bore a son. And called his name Samuel. She called him Samuel because she'd asked him of God. And Samuel means asked of God. And she gave him that name. He's an answer to prayer. He's Samuel. And so there's meaning in his name. And she gave him his name, and it has meaning. And whenever she calls her child Samson, it expresses her faith. It expresses her gratitude. And she's glorifying the Lord. The Hebrew is Shimshon. And it means son. S-U-N. The sun in the sky. He's a little son. A little son has come into her life. S-U-N, not S-O-N. A son as well has come into her life. But a son that beams. That shines. Why would he be called that? Why would she call him that? Several reasons could be suggested. In fact, we could imagine a whole series of things. Perhaps it was the angel's countenance that first struck her. He had the countenance of an angel. Maybe his shiny face of the angel who gave her the message. Maybe she called him in remembrance of that. But I don't think so. Maybe it's because when he was born, he was shining. He had a radiant face. Maybe she called him son because of that. But I don't think so. I don't think so. It would be probably 8 days before she would name him. Maybe she began to detect his personality as he formed over the 7 or 8 days. Maybe she could sense he was a cheerful personality. That he was a shiny individual. I think that's true about Samson. If you read about Samson, Samson liked a bit of fun. And he hardly ever seems to get down. He doesn't get depressed or in the dumps. No matter how dark and bleak things get. He's a happy person. He's like the sun. Maybe she detected that personality, that radiance. Maybe she called him Samson because of that. But I don't think so. It seems to me that Mrs. Manoah viewed him as a son in her life. It was pretty dull, her life. Mr. Manoah is a pretty dull man, really. She seems to have to lead him spiritually. Maybe a son now has arisen in her life. Maybe the darkness of barrenness has just gone. And he's a son. He's arisen and the darkness of barrenness and the darkness of hopelessness has just gone. It's gone now. This is a son in my life. He scattered the darkness and the gloom. He's a little son to me. And maybe through faith she could see the Philistine darkness of bondage was going to fade. Now, through faith, this little son has arisen and she sees the darkness of the Philistine dictatorship beginning to fade. The day is arriving now. A deliverer has come. a son has arisen. I think that's more like it. Deliverance is coming. She knew that he was going to be an illustrious servant of God. In fact, the word, the Hebrew word from Hebrew is a wonderful language. It's very picturesque. Most Hebrew words have only three letters. Consonants. The vowels change, but the consonants are the basic of the word. And there's so many words that are related. It's wonderful, just a wonderful language. And the word for servant and the word for son have the same root. And the son is really God's servant that does so much for God in this whole world. It gives us our life, our growth, our vitality, brings joy to the human beings on earth. It preserves life. It really serves God so well, that son up there. And you can see why the Hebrews would use a word, get the son out of a word for servant, God's servant. And this man, Samson, as a servant of God, is going to be illustrious. He's going to shine. And brethren and sisters, we should be shining servants for God. We should be joyful and glad. We should show ourselves through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to get above the world and to get above the things that pull the wicked and the ungodly down. The child of God shouldn't be in the dumps. The child of God should be shining, shining for Jesus. Should have the joy of the Lord in his soul. He should be beaming. The servant of God should be beaming. He's a son. You know, you see, if we're not beaming for the Lord Jesus, the world doesn't want to know Christianity. He's just as depressed as me. What can Christianity do for me? It doesn't do much for him. That's the way that, I know it's wrong, but that's the way the world thinks. We have to shine for Jesus. We have to be happy in our homes. We have to be happy in our families. Not the miserable looking man. If a smile, our face would crack and fall apart. We should be joyful and radiant. Shining for the Lord. Samson was happy. He could give them a wee riddle. I'll give you boys a wee riddle. He had a joy about him. Are we like that? And then we wonder why nobody's saved. We drive the people away from church. We don't draw them in. We're miserable. And we should be like the sun, consistently, daily, radiant, radiant for God. And like the sun, will soften good people. But you know, bad people will harden them. That's the way it works. The sun hardens some, and the sun softens others. Why is that? That's just the way the sun works. It depends on the texture of that which it shines upon. But we should be sons no matter who we meet. Good people or bad people. So he's called Samson. And ultimately he's called Samson because he's a picture of Christ. He's like Christ. He's not the Messiah, but he's like him. And what's Messiah going to be? He's going to be the Son of Righteousness who in the darkness arises. And he comes in the midst of the darkness and he arises. The Son of Righteousness, the real Samson. With healing in his wings. That's Jesus. Jesus is the real Samson. Samson's only like the sun. Samson dies and rises no more, but Jesus Christ dies and he rises the light of the world forever and ever and ever. He's the real sun. The eschatological Samson. Messiah. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have a light shined. Arise, shine, for the light has come. This is what the church can say. Arise and shine, the light's come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. The sun shall no more be light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And the sun shall no more go down. Those are the days that we're in now. That's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, I tell you. That's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that Isaiah prophecy. It'll never go down. The sun will never go down because he's risen. His name is Jesus. He's risen and he's the light of the world, and he'll never go down. He'll never set. He's the Son of Heaven. The Bible tells us that. He's the temple of heaven as well. There's no temple there and there's no sun there because Jesus is there. She called his name Samson. We'll maybe look at one more. The woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew. Again, this is showing God's cure of Samson. You don't just read over that. He just grew. No, we have to. Why did the Lord say that? Why? What's the Lord telling us, sir? He grew. He's telling us about the faithfulness again to his promise. You'll bear a son, and he begin to deliver Israel. He grew. He's not a dwarf. He grew. He doesn't have stunted growth. He grew. Because that's what God promised. Whenever God promised a son who'd be the deliverer, that's the kind of son that he promised. So he grew. God didn't just give a son. God gave a healthy son. That's what the promise implied. A healthy son. Not a son who'll be in bed all the time. Not a son who'll be sickly all the time and you'll wonder whether he'll live or die. No, he grew. He grew. It's interesting that the three Nazarites in the Bible had special births. The three Nazarites in the Bible had special births. This one, and the child grew. And then Samuel. What does it say about Samuel? Listen for these echoes, because the Spirit of the Lord has given us echoes all the time. Hannah, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived, and she bore. And what does the Bible say? The child Samuel grew. He grew. Doesn't say it all the time when you read about sons being born. Doesn't say all the time they grew. But you see the Nazarites. It says they grew. They grew. Even though they're not drinking the wine. Even though they're not partaking of the vine. Even though they're not touching any unclean thing. They're just obeying God. But they grew. They grew. And then the other Nazarite is John the Baptist. And you know how special his birth was, Elizabeth and all that. She conceived and bore. And it says the child grew. The child grew. The very same expression. Samuel, Samson, John the Baptist, the three Nazarites, as children, they grew. They grew, and they had the Spirit of the Lord in their lives as well. And it says concerning John the Baptist that he grew and he waxed strong in spirit. And he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And you ought to study these three men together, Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. And you know, there's one other person. Who do you think it is? It's Jesus, isn't it? You knew that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how special his birth was? Born of a virgin, miracle of miracles. Nothing like it. Born of a virgin. She bore, she conceived. She bore a son. She called his name Jesus. And what does the Bible say? Luke 2, verse 40. The child grew. The child grew. And waxed strong in spirit. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Waxed strong in spirit. And so you see, whenever you read chapters 14 through to 16, you have to remember this. Here's a man who has all these echoes of Messiah. A man who's growing. Who's growing in the Lord, who's growing in strength, who's growing in power, like Samuel and Samson and John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're growing. They're growing. And they're growing because they're special to God. They're special to God. And that's what this is saying. They're special to God and they grew. Are we special to God? Are you growing, child of God? Are you growing? Is he really alive? Out of a spiritual womb, is he really alive? Can it be? Out of a dead, barren womb, is he alive? He's alive because he's growing. He's growing. And child of God, if you're a true Christian and you've been born again and you've come out of deadness, let me tell you, the evidence of it is you'll grow. You'll grow. Are you growing? Are you worse the day than you've ever been? There's some people you know that haven't grew at all. Oh, there's people who started off well. Never missed church. Never missed a prayer meeting. But now you can't see them. Not only in this church, in any church. Now you can't see them. Have they grew at all? Are they not giants? Are they not waxing strong in spirit? Why are they not waxing strong in spirit? Oh. Are they alive? We'll have to leave it there. Let's pray.